Welcome back to Relevant, the podcast that aims to make Jesus Christ a real and relevant part of your everyday.
You guys, we just finished recording such a good episode. Oh my gosh, we're like still
really
on the
good
post-episode high. We had the honor of having Austin Huang on, who is a 23-year-old from Texas who shares Jesus full-time. He has 70,000 followers on his Instagram, and he is very good at what he does. You guys will fall in love with him, and we're so excited for you to hear this episode. Enjoy. Guys, we are so excited. We have Austin coming on the podcast today, and we're so excited to have him because, Austin, I feel like you probably know this, but you have a God-given gift for making Christianity just seem so appealing, just so real and alive and just so fun. And it just makes it seem like, oh my gosh, being Christian just makes life better. And so we just wanted to kick off the episode hearing, like, how did you get to this level of like unashamed faith? What is your faith story?
Yeah, well, first off, what an introduction. That's so sweet. That's so kind. Making Christianity cool. I remember making a video about something like that like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was like cringe the way I was talking about it. I was like, oh, are Christians cool? But thank you.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. So I would say that the beginning of my faith story, I was raised in the Christian church and a Christian household and went to Christian school kind of my whole life. But it wasn't until I would say I was about 8 or 9 years old that it became real to me. So we were at a Christmas Eve service and basically, there was a guy that went on stage. I don't think it was a pastor, but it was just some guy who was reading a verse from Revelation. And it was basically saying how, you know, he will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more mourning or crying anymore. And that's what like just hit me like a ton of bricks and just felt the Holy Spirit just like awaken my senses to his presence. And I shed a tear. And I like looked at my mom and I was like, I'm ready to get baptized. So I was like, on fire when I was that young. And basically to like sum it all up, parents got divorced a year later. And that really like took a turn for the worst in my life. Not in a super dramatic way, but more of a, all right, I'm gonna become a people pleaser. I'm gonna do everything in my own power to like achieve success in my own ways. I'm gonna get involved in relationships that I shouldn't. I'm gonna do things behind people's backs that I shouldn't. And it was a whole bunch of like putting up this persona of who I said Austin was and living behind the scenes of like, oh no, that was all a facade. It was all fake. And it wasn't until coming into college freshman year that I really met Jesus afresh. So I was coming in as some guy who thought he knew everything. Like again, I had gone to Christian school my whole life and I knew so much about God, but I didn't know God. And there's just a big difference. I think a lot of people get this misconception of. And so I knew a lot about God. I knew everything about Jesus, who he was, but I didn't know him as my Lord and Savior. And so coming into freshman year, I went to this camp called Ignite Texas. And that's where I really experienced what true worship was and like the freedom that there is in worshiping God. And from there, just something clicked and I've been following Christ ever since and just been on fire, and grown so much. It's insane to me how I can look back 5 years ago now and just be like, wow. Like the whole, it's like a 180 switch. It's ridiculous. So that's a little bit about my story coming into faith.
Oh my gosh. I love the phrase that you used, on fire. Like that is what your account feels like. Just like on fire for the gospel. And it's so contagious. It's literally, I saw it and I was like, oh my gosh. If anything's going to like wake people up to like how real and relevant Jesus still is, like, Austin. We gotta have Austin
on.
So it's so fun. That's awesome.
No, it's so true. The other day I was looking at your account because I was trying to come up with questions to ask you for this. And I was like, it was like the first, I was telling Amelia, it was like the first thing I did in the morning because I saw Amelia's text and I was like, oh crap,
we gotta know what we're gonna talk to you about.
I love it.
And so, but seriously, like my whole day went better. Like sometimes you forget how awesome Jesus is and you just need a little reminder. And that really was my reminder. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
That's so cool. That's awesome. Praise God.
Yeah, for real. I saw also that you do these Zoom Bible studies every week. Yeah?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I want to hear about that. How did that start? Yeah. And what do those look like?
For sure. That's a fun story. So again, I graduated in May of last year, and I was trying to pursue like Christian content. I was like figuring out what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I remember getting connected with this guy named Blake on Instagram, and we had become like mutual followers and stuff. And I think I DM'd him, or he DM'd me, something happened. And we started talking, and we hopped on a phone call, and he was basically just saying, "Hey bro, like I'm about to start these like Zoom Bible studies," because I don't know where he got the idea from. Maybe it was just the Holy Spirit. It was super cool. Yeah. But
he was like,
bro, he'll do that. And he was just like, "Bro, I need a co-host. Would you want to like co-host the first time I'm doing this with me?" I was like, "Sure, why not?" I was expecting like 10, 15 people on there. Mm-hmm. And it was this crazy thing. I was in Galveston doing this little To the Ends of the Earth tour with my friends, where we just kind of went around Texas and preached the gospel. That we can talk about that later. That was really fun.
Yeah,
so cool.
But I just logged into Zoom, and there were already 100 people on, just like waiting for Blake and I. And I was just like, "What is happening right now?"
Like, who are these people?
It's crazy. It maxed it out. Because like there's some, like for the free version of Zoom, it's 100 people capacity. And so like Blake couldn't even get in. Like we were like, "Hey guys, like someone's gonna have to drop so Blake can get in." I know. And since then, basically I'll give a little summary of what we do. For the past 8 months, we've been opening up a Zoom call to the entire world. We do it twice a week, Monday nights and Thursday in the morning. And it's a free thing. Anyone can join it, all ages. Everybody's welcome. Even if you're not a Christian, like we really love pushing that. Like, hey, like if you're curious, come through.
Yeah.
Like, just come see what all these young people are on fire about. And so we've had about 300 to 500 people every single week on Monday nights, and then another like 200 on Thursday mornings. And it's just been awesome. We read the Bible together. We open the floor to questions, and we get to pray for one another. And it's the sweetest thing in the world.
No, that's amazing. And the fact that 100 people, I just am putting myself in that spot where like I'm expecting like 5 people and 100 people, I would have been like, "Oh my gosh, did I really do my hair today? I'd like rethink everything." I would be like, "Totally. Wait a second, is the camera even going to go on for me right now?"
Yeah.
But I think that's so awesome. I feel like it really shows that there is this genuine kind of pull from people that like, man, I really do want to get into the word. And I think it's awesome that so many people are interested. And I think there are a lot of people who see the value of scripture, but like don't really feel that pull. So like, I don't know, do you have any advice or recommendations for people who like want to fall in love with scripture and just can't really find it in them?
100%. Because I when I was looking at those questions, I was like, dude, I feel this question so much. Because for so long, again, I knew so much about God. I was taking classes in school to learn so much about him. I didn't care. Like I would look at that book and just be like, this is some old book that has a bunch of words that I don't understand. I don't know the meaning of. But then my perspective shifted when I realized that this is God's word, and it's not a textbook. It's not something that some dude is up in the sky. He gave us a book and you got to read the whole thing and follow it word by word. And then there's going to be a test at the end of the life and blah, blah, blah. You know, it wasn't about that. It wasn't a textbook. It was a guide to life. It was a path to life. It was him showing me here's a bunch of stuff from the beginning of time up until the New Testament, up until Jesus's life and thereafter. And it's all for the benefit of me. It's all for the benefit of y'all too. It's for the benefit of anyone who reads it. And that's my encouragement number one, is even if you're not a Christian, it's a book that you can find so much wisdom in and love and stories of just like insane stories of armies fighting one another and donkeys talking. Like it's weird. It's cool. It's fun. I think number one, like people look at it as an ancient text and something that is super far removed from our society. And they ask, why can't the Bible be adapted to fit better our society? And it's like, because the word of God doesn't change. God is unchanging. It's part of his character. And so the best advice that I would give to somebody who is pursuing reading scripture is to remember that it's not a thing you have to check the box on. It's not a to-do list item. It's something that you get to commune with God himself. And you can put your Bible in front of you and read a chapter and be talking to God at the same time. It's ridiculous. He's the author of life who gave you a book and a guide to life. And we choose to ignore it so much. And we look at God and we're like, I feel so distant from you when the word, when your Bible has been closed for the past 8 months. I really want us to know that you open that Bible. And even if the words don't make sense to you, like, keep doing it. It's the pursuit of God. It's the pursuit of things that he has laid out for you. And the other thing that I would say is that I think maybe a lot of Christians get super legalistic about reading the Bible and following it word by word, when they don't understand that Jesus came to be the fulfillment of the law. Like, you look at Leviticus law and the Mosaic law, and you see these things like, don't eat meat, don't mix two fabrics. Like, all of these things are like, how am I supposed to live in a world where, like, this shirt is probably like 50% cotton, 50% polyester? Like, that's a sin, right? But once you realize the Bible is all connected, and I love this example, because that two fabrics thing that it talks about in Levitical law, don't mix two fabrics, actually relates to our salvation, because it showcases that when you are renewed, when you're born again, when you're saved by God, you have a new identity as a son or a daughter of the Most High. And so when he says in Levitical law back in the Old Testament, don't mix two fabrics, he's intending for you to make a connection that says, don't mix your old identity, your old self, with your new identity, your new self. Because when you go to heaven and God's going to be like, why should I let you in? If you have even 1% of your old self with you, you're not getting in, because God is all holy. But the cool thing is, Christ paid the price in his death on a cross, and his blood just washed it all over. And so now that two fabrics mixing together is actually a reflection of how the fact that blood of God has washed down on us. And now we're our only a new identity, and we're not even 1% of what we used to be. It's just super cool. That's my encouragement. That's my advice, is that it's all connected, and it's like it's a whole love story that God wrote for you.
I love that analogy. And that specific example, I was listening to a different podcast the other day, and they were talking about, like, sometimes, yeah, the Bible does seem like just these stories of, like, these old people, and you're like, what, how does this relate? But the advice they gave was, look for God in those stories. Like, look for what did God do to Paul that he can do for me? What did he do in this situation with David and Goliath? And how can that relate to my life? Like, it's a story about these old people, but it's also just a story about God and how he interacts with us and how he can support us and save us, honestly. So
I love that. I saw this, like, quote, and it was this woman talking to this guy, and she said, like, hey, like, who's your favorite character in the Bible? Like, is it David? Is it... Why am I blanking on 40 bazillion prophets right now? Am I even Christian? You know what I mean? Yeah. You get the point, okay?
Yeah. I got the guy
responded, and he said, I think my favorite character in the Bible is God. And, like, she was like, oh my gosh, I don't think I've ever gotten the answer. I think we focus, sometimes it's so easy to focus on, like, the fact that it is their story, not that it's our story, and how it's really just spending time with God. And anyway, really love that. We also have another, okay, Ella has this question. She came up with it, and I really want to hear your thoughts on it.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, let's so it. I think something that I hear a lot, maybe not a lot, but a decent amount, is like, yeah, people just don't have faith anymore. Like, people these days, they're just leaving the church, they're leaving the gospel, it's not the popular thing to be religious. And it's always kind of discouraging hearing that, because I'm like, wait, no, like, just because I have found so much love in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And something that I loved seeing on your account was just how much you said, like, that there are believers of this new rising generation of, like, people, kids our age, kids who are younger, who are believing. And so I would love to hear your thoughts on that, and also just, like, some of the experiences that you've had with seeing people our age believe.
Yeah, that's a beautiful question. I have found so much hope in, especially even just like coming into college and finding people who were my age, who weren't like a bunch of weirdos and who loved Jesus. Like,
yeah.
it was so unique. And again, like, it was part of honestly what drew me back to the Lord. At that time, I was coming in to major in like environmental studies and like sustainability. And it was a very big passion of mine. Because I saw God as my creator. Like, I saw the creation. I thought it was beautiful. And I thought that was what my life was going to revolve around. And I remember still to this day, one of the conversations I had with my camp counselor at that camp I was talking about. Mm-hmm. And he asked me, oh, who is God to you? And I was like all high and mighty. I thought I knew everything. I was super prideful. And I was like, oh, you know, yeah, I know all about Jesus and the death and resurrection. Yeah, I get it. But like, I see God as my creator because I find all the beauty in all this stuff. And he was probably just like, oh, okay, like, that's great, you know?
Yeah.
But he still loved me through it. Like, he and around me, there was people around me who were like all for Christ and still like enjoying life and not being like legalistic about it, not being like very, what's the word? I guess just like putting walls up. Because I think a lot of Christians can look at a secular university like the one I went to and be like, I don't want anything to do with that. And we're going to build up walls and be the light over here, and there's going to be darkness all the way over here. But it's so cool to see godly community band together and walk into the places where it's dark and it all lights up. Like, it's cool being the light in the dark places. And I know for a lot of people, and especially a lot of young people, that it's a hard balance. It's like, if you're the Christian in your friend group and everyone else is not a Christian, then you're probably the outcast, or people like look at you and pick on you. And every time you mess up, they're going to be like, well, I thought you were Christian. It gets into that. I hate it. I hate the tension of that. But when you realize like you're living with a purpose, like you're living with a greater meaning to your life now, it just changes everything. And all these events and these conferences that have been happening, like Passion or End of Year with Upper Room and Gen Z for Jesus, like these awesome things that people from all over the country, all over the world are coming to worship Jesus. It's been so fun to be around those type of people and get to do life with them. Because I know that's a very big struggle for a lot of people, whether you're Christian or not, is finding friends, is having people around you who will lift you up and take you places you want to go. Because oftentimes we fall into those friendships where they drag you down or make you just like them. And scripture is very clear when it says, like, you are, if bad company corrupts good character. And so when you're around the bad people, when you're around people who aren't living for God and glorifying Him, then it's no wonder why people feel this exclusion from Christianity, this feeling like there's a wall between Christians and non-Christians. But yeah, I know that's a very long-winded answer, but we're called to be the light in the darkness. And if we try to separate ourselves from the darkness, then we're not really doing anybody any good.
It's true. We're not doing our job.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so cool.
I know. I really love it. And I feel like just when you were talking about just getting together with a whole bunch of Christians, just like the buzz, like it is not boring. You know what I mean? Like you wish you could describe it to people, but there's just this like electricity. You know what I mean? Like the God who made lightning is with us and you feel it. You know what I mean? It's
Come on.
This like contagious, this fire. And I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. We just want to like, thank you for doing such a good job out there. Like showing that like you can have a good time, like, and be a Christian, and that it's not just that you can have fun regardless of being Christian, but you can have fun because you're Christian. Like, life is just more fun because you're Christian.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is, like, God created life to be enjoyed by us. There's no, he didn't create us as like these robots who, you know, here's a law and you have to fulfill every single one of these things that I wrote down here. That's after the fall. That's after we disobeyed. That's after like mankind messed up and distance ourselves from God. But before that, we were living in the garden, and I'm sure they were having so much fun, like exploring the world and seeing what God had created for us. Because ultimately, you know, everything that God creates is for his glory. But it's super cool that when you go through the days of creation, he forms the world, he forms the land and the animals and the plants and all that. And then he gets to mankind and he says, it's very good. Like, he was so well pleased with us because he made us in his image. And he didn't create us just so that we could, you know, be boring and have like a boring life and just like go to church and then come home. Like, he wanted us to, you know, look around and enjoy the things that he had created. So, yeah, I agree with you.
So cool. So one question that we always like to ask our guests before they go is, our podcast is called Relevant, and so our goal is to make God more relevant to their lives, to everyone's lives. And so we would love to ask you how you make God relevant in your life, or any advice you would have for anyone.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I forgot your guys' podcast name. I will say that. I'm so sorry. But that's a really cool name. That makes so much sense too. And I would say the way that I make God relevant to my life is I take a step back from searching for my own success, from searching for my own ambition. I lived most of my life with that in mind, trying to figure out how I can be the best version of myself. But it wasn't until I realized that the best version of myself is when Christ is magnified in me, that he must increase and I must decrease. That's when I really understood, oh, well, this is how you actually have the fullness of joy that he promises in Psalm 16:11, and to have the fullness of the pleasures that he has for you at his right hand. It's by taking a step back and saying, it's not me. It's not about me. I'm not the main character of my own life. You know, you see that on TikToks, like main character energy. Like, I don't want to be associated with that. Because Christ is the main character of my life. And honestly, the coolest thing I've seen from that is when you take a step back and you let Christ lead in every aspect of your life, all the burdens and the weight of the world, it's lifted off of your shoulder. For his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And there's so many people out here that try to live for themselves. And I just want to remind them, and I want to remind myself even when I say that, that there's a God-sized hole in all of our hearts. Only God can fill it. And we can try everything to fill that void, but only he will do that. I just want to like remind people and encourage them that it's fun to be Christian. It's cool to enjoy God. He's not just some dude who tells you to read his book. Like, he's not some like stingy author who's like just trying to push his book out. Like, his book is free. There's a Bible app for you. And it's a free type of love. It's Jesus going to the cross, knowing that you may not even choose him, but he still loved you enough to die for you. It's an unconditional type of love. And that's what we're all searching for. I think that's the most relevant thing that there is to find a guy who loves you so much, who died for you and he came back to life for you to conquer death and sin for you so that you can have the free gift of eternal life with him in heaven. I think it's as relevant as it can be.
Yeah.
That was so well put. Oh my goodness. Got chills multiple times. Oh my gosh. We are so grateful again that you were willing enough to come on and hop on our little podcast. And we're so grateful for all of your insights. And we're so happy about this episode.
Yeah, for sure. Tell us and our listeners how we can find you. You're obviously on Instagram, but where else?
Totally. Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you just type in my name, Austin Huang, I'm sure it'll pop up. I'm really trying to pursue a lot more TikTok live streams and maybe get more into YouTube this year, longer content. My aim this year is to like really be authentic as I can be and genuine with my content so that people can not feel like what we've been talking about, that barrier to entry with Christians, that there's this bunch of people over here who have like all this crazy ideology and they think that God lives inside them and, you know, there's a big wall. And I want to just break it down and be like, hey, like I am a human just like you. And yes, God has saved me and there's different things about me that you can have access to. But it's like, you kind of got to like walk with them hand in hand into that place. So yeah, that's cool. What I aim to do.
Love that. So cool. We'll link all your stuff in our show notes so people can just click on it there. But
for sure. And thank you all so much for listening. We hope you loved hearing from Austin as much as we did. And we will see you all next week.
Bye.
I got
distracted. Do you hear that?
Yeah, it's like a little bunny.
Like a little bunny.